find it, and I'm an addict.
The 12 traditions of NA. We keep what we have only with vigilance and justice. Freedom for the individual comes from the 12 steps, so freedom for the group springs from our traditions. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Six, an NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. Eight, Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Understanding these traditions comes slowly over a period of time. We pick up information as we talk to members and visit various groups. It usually isn't until we get involved with service that someone points out that personal recovery depends on NA unity, and that unity depends on how well we follow our traditions. The 12 traditions of NA are not negotiable. They are the guidelines that keep our fellowship alive and free. By following these guidelines in our dealings with others and society at large, we avoid many problems. That is not to say that our traditions eliminate all problems. We still have to face difficulties as they arise, communication problems, differences of opinion, internal controversies, and troubles with individuals and groups outside the fellowship. However, when we apply these principles, we avoid some of the pitfalls. Many of our problems are like those that our predecessors had to face. Their hard-won experience gave birth to the traditions, and our own experience has shown that these principles are just as valid today as they were when these traditions were formulated. Our traditions protect us from the internal and external forces that could destroy us. They are truly the ties that bind us together. It is only through understanding and application that they work. Thanks.
And Julie has agreed to read the third paragraph, We Do Recover and the Nature of the Addict, from the preface of the basic text.
All right.
I'm Julie and I'm an addict. Third paragraph of We Do Recover. When at the end of the road we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative, either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous. Chapter 8 of the Basic Text, page 84. From the preface to the basic text, we cannot change the nature of the addict or addiction. We can help to change the old lie, once an addict, always an addict, by striving to make recovery more available. God help us to remember the difference. Page 14 of the basic text. Thank you.
Thank you.
In keeping with the nature of anonymity and in the spirit of carrying this message, we wish to make these recordings available through the public domain. Members may feel free to share and copy the recordings from this conference. The History Conference Subcommittee of the Greater Nashville Area and the Middle Tennessee Area have partnered with the Florida Regional Convention Sound to record the speaker portion of this conference. Speaker tapes will be available during the conference for $2 each. After the conference, these recordings will be available through the Florida Regional Service Office for $4 each. We only have 1,000 blank tapes, so place your orders early. The History Conference Subcommittee is also recording the speaker portion of the conference and the interviews as well. These recordings, about 35 hours of recorded history, will be available on an MP3 compressed CD set. The price of this CD set is $30 for both the speakers sharing in the conference room and the interviews of many of these speakers. We will be taking orders only during the conference. Please allow 4 to 6 weeks at least for your CD set to be mailed to you. And a couple of other announcements. Again, we do ask that you not take pictures during the session. At the end of the program tonight, we will allow, if any speakers want to have their pictures taken, then we're going to ask their permission they come up there. But during the rest of the evening, ask that you not take any pictures during the meeting. And we also ask that you, whatever coffee cups or whatever that we're using, please just kind of pick up after ourselves. We'd like to leave the room just as we found it. And with all of the housekeeping chores over, we will have Mike C. will now introduce Doreen.
Hi, everybody. I'm an addict. My name is Mike. And obviously, audiovisual challenged. In our program, we say there are no big I's and no little U's, that we're all equal. I believe that, but I'm really grateful that when I was feeling small, the speaker you're about to hear had time for me. I'm only supposed to introduce, so I'm not supposed to share, so I better cut it there. And although she needs no introduction, she deserves one, if only for what she's done for me. Without any further ado, I give you Doreen P.
Well, good evening, everybody. My name is Doreen. I'm a very grateful recovering addict. And it's truly good to be here, you know, this evening. You know, y'all have to really help me out a little bit here, you know, because the mother's getting up in age now, you know, and my mind is not my friend sometimes. But just to give you a little bit about myself and, you know, how I got here and what happened. I was listening to a lot of the speakers earlier today, you know, and I'm from Washington, D.C. And what happened, I used drugs for a long time, you know, and I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I wanted a new way of life, and I just didn't know how to get started. And what happened, I think when Martin Luther King, they had the march or something in D.C. Anyway, I got locked up that time. It was the last and final damn time, you know, that I got locked up in Washington, D.C. And I was saying to myself, Lord, I'm just tired. I need to get my life together. I want to get my life together. But how was I going to get my life together, you know? And sitting over in that jail, you know, I got to thinking about things, you know. And mainly, if you think of what did she do when she was out there, I did everything that I could to get the wear and tear that I needed for my body. As a prostitute, I did everything under the sun. But I got to the point where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. So when I went over to jail at that time, when they had that ride, that was back in about 60-something, 65 or 66 or so. And I come out, I said, I'm going to try to get my life together, you know. And I just didn't know, once an addict, they say always an addict, you know. But anyway, I came out and I tried to do the right thing. And by alcohol being accepted by society, you know, it was all right to drink. And little did I know back there at that time, I was a person with addictive personality. I did not like to feel anything, you know. So when I started drinking when I got out, I didn't like alcohol. I didn't like the way it smelled. I didn't like the way it tasted. I didn't like the way it burned going down. So therefore, when I got me a little drink, call myself a little drink, I got a big glass like this, and I must fill it halfway up with alcohol and maybe put a little bit of soda in between there. So the first drink that I took would damn near knock me out, you know. And I found myself very happy, you know, and going on, you know. And I just didn't like the way that it made me feel, you know. But I couldn't stop. Because for one thing, I did not know who this woman was, you know. And I didn't know how to find out who this woman was, you know. So anyway, I started drinking for quite some time and determined that I'm not going to use any more drugs and everything because I was tired of going to jail. I was tired of sticking needles in my arm, and I was just started a whole gamut, you know. And so I come out, and I began to start getting myself together, and I stopped using drugs and hard drugs, I say, back in. Must have been about 6 days, something like that. But, like I said, I started drinking because alcohol was accepted by society, so. And I wound up getting me a little job or so, you know. And, like I said, the alcohol was accepted, so I started drinking. And I got to the point where, you know, I was having blackouts, you know. I was waking up places I didn't know where I was, you know, or how I got there. My car, I couldn't find out where my car was and everything, you know. And I woke up one morning and somebody's been and asked me what I wanted for breakfast. I said, man, what you doing in my house? My husband will be home in a few minutes, you know. So he said, baby, you know, I ain't in your house, you in my house. I said, oh, shit. I said, Lord, it's something that's got to happen here. You know, I had to really get myself back together again. But I just didn't know how, you know. And I was working in a drug aftercare program at the time, you know. And what happened is that we used to have meetings and things in this program and everything. And I could counsel and everything. And but things still wasn't right for me, you know. I just didn't feel right or so, you know. And like on the weekends, you know, I would stop drinking during the week. But on the weekend, I would go in the liquor store, and the man at the store, he'd either put a fifth or a half gallon up on the counter, you know. And if it was payday, I'd get a half gallon. If it wasn't payday, I'd get a fifth for the weekend, you know. And until I got to the point, I said that this has got to stop. I have got to get myself together. I just cannot keep on going on like this, you know. And somebody, I met a friend that used to be an addict. And the last time I seen him, he was pushing a cot with bottles and everything in it, you know. And but he looked so good and so distinguished looking, you know. And I went up to him, I said, well, I said, Jack, I said, well, you damn, you really look good. He said, you do too. So what you do? I said, well, I work here, and he said, well, okay, then we got to talking. And I said, well, you ain't drinking enough no more. He said, no. And he happened to have that little black book in his hand, you know, that AA had, you know. And he said, well, I go to this fellowship, you know. And I said, well, what is that, you know? So he told me about the fellowship, you know. And I said, well, you know, I've been drinking a lot, and I'm trying to stop. He said, well, here, read this. So I read that, and I liked what I was reading in there. So he said, I'll call you if you want to go to a meeting. I'll take you to a meeting. I said, well, fine, you know. One way he called me, and I went to my first meeting in AA, and it happened to be an anniversary. And this fella got up at Napoleon, was a very distinguished-looking fella. Looked like anybody's professor you ever want to see, you know. And you know, I couldn't believe. You know, I've always been around people talking about people, and I'm going to help you talk with everybody in this room, but it's not my damn business, you know. That's the same I was, you know. So when this fellow was talking about himself like he was, I could believe that this man was saying the things that he was saying about himself, you know, about how he was such a terrible alcoholic and he was spread across the street. He said, and the children would come up to him and tell him, say, come on, Mr. So-and-so, I'll help you across the street. And he said, they'd get him out of the street and they'd leave him. And the cops would come and he'd be out there, you know, scared to death, you know. And I mean, the things that he was saying about himself, I could not understand. I could not believe. I've never heard nobody talk about themselves like that. Now, I've heard you talk about everybody like that, but never about yourself like that, you know. And I said, oh, this man got to be lying, talking about himself like that, you know. So I went to another meeting with him. And sure enough, this was a meeting, a discussion meeting, you know, around table. So we sit down, I heard people sitting around, and they was talking about things that was happening and going on with them. I've never been around people like this. And I found myself slowly but surely going to AA meetings, you know. And I began to like those AA meetings. And I was in AA for about 2 years, you understand me? And somebody told me that they had a drug meeting in Washington, D.C., up at the VA hospital, you know. And I said, well, let me go up here and see what that's all about, you know. I'm doing pretty good now in my job and counseling and all this crap, you know, and not drinking or not using any drugs and everything. So I go up there to the VA, great big room just like this, well lit just like this, you know. And I go up there and now all of a sudden I hear somebody say, meeting time. So we all come in the big room there and the lights were on. So when we got in the room, they cut all the damn lights out. And they had a lamp sitting on the table. And when somebody got to speak, you had to go and do one of these numbers to see who was talking, right? And I said, well, what the hell? You can't see what they say. Well, who's saying that? And, well, you know. So after the meeting, the lights come back on. Well, I was very uncomfortable in this drug meeting because I had come out of the dark into the light. Now y'all bring me back in the goddamn dark. So they cut the lamp on, and I said, well, shit, you know. And I say, well, I couldn't even see who was talking, what they were saying or what, you know. But anyway, I looked up, and they had the AA preamble, you know, 12 steps and the 12th edition hanging up. And they had NA's literature on the table. And they had the white book on the table. So I went over and I looked and I got the white book and I read the first part of it and said, I like what I was reading. So the couple of pamphlets they had, I picked up the pamphlet and I took that. So when I got back, got outside, you know, I started reading the pamphlet. And I liked what I was reading in the little white book, you know. So I got together. I said, well, now, you know, I started some meetings down there where I work at, you know. And I began to read the pamphlet. So I got, I called the World Service down there. And when I called the World Service, I got Jimmy Kay. And I started telling Jimmy Kay, you know, about the meetings here and everything. And so he said, well, Doreen, so I tell you what we do? We're going to send you a startup kit. I said, well, okay, what's a startup kit, you know? So he was telling me what a startup kit was, but we can start it like it's supposed to be. And I said, oh, okay. So he sent me a startup kit, you know? And, of course, I was working in the government, you understand me? So I could call Jimmy damn near every day, as long as I wanted. It wasn't hammering the telephone bills and shit at that time. You call him the way you were, around the country, you know. And me and Jimmy, we used to lay back and have some long talks, you know. So Jimmy sent me a starter kit and everything in the readings and things, you know. I said, well, okay, then we'll get a meeting started, you know. So I got a meeting started down at the place where I work at,
And us, like, as addicts, you know, we got to get to the meat of the things. You know, we want to really talk, you know. We don't want to hear all those readings, all that shit, you know. So when we got there and we got the readings and everything, you mean tell me that read all that shit before we start the meeting or so, you know? I said, well, yeah, it's a lot. It was a lot to me, you know, to read, you know. But, I mean, I don't know why, because I've been in AA, and they got this much, you know, maybe not as much, but they had a long reading. So I said, well, I'll find out about that. So I called Jimmy back, and I told Jimmy, I said, don't you think we could condense this a little bit? He said, oh, no. He said, no, we cannot condense that at all. It has to be read in entirety. You know, the whole thing. I said, four or five of them? And he said, yeah, it's got to be read in time. I said, well, okay. He said, that's the way it's got to be, and goddamn it, that's the way it's going to be. So I was a charge because it was my building and my place, you know. So sure enough, we began to get that. We got used to the readings and things like that, and that's how we began NA, you know, down there in the drug aftercare place where I was working. And then we heard about a drug meeting in Maryland, you know, we're in Maryland. So we went over there, everybody knows about the meeting that's going over there, and we went over in Maryland. Sure enough, they was having an NA meeting over there. And we got along with some of the fellas. One fella was in a wheelchair. I forgot his name there, Bob. I think it was Jimmy. And then there was another fellow from California, a little blonde-haired young dude, you know, from California. And we went over there to their meeting, early service meeting. So, you know, I didn't know what the hell they was talking about, but they invited us, so we were there, you know. And we began to hook up with them. Then Virginia came in with us. And then Baltimore, Maryland came in with us. And then we used to have our little area services and our meetings, and we began to understand and talk to one another. And, boy, we used to have some hell of a meetings, you know. And down at my workplace, we had a conference room, and we used to have an area meeting, you know, for the areas to come to. And we had a long table. And bless his soul now, he's dead, this fellow from out of Virginia. I can't think of this dude's name now. But I thought his purpose was strictly to come to the meeting and suck with Doreen. And I was the chairperson. I had no idea what the hell I was doing. You know, because like we all get positions and we think we big shit and everything, you know. And, I would get there, and before I knew it, baby, I would be getting up on that table, calling to get to that something, saying something to me, and I'd be calling across the table. And this little fella used to get up, I can't remember their names to save my life, but he used to say, he said, these are non-negotiable. No, he would read whatever the tradition was, and then I think after reading them, he said, these are non-negotiable. And we had to sit there, and we had to take that shit. You know, us just being addicts, we know every damn thing. So we just have to take this shit, you know. Lying off, that's what it was. He's dead now. Bless his soul, he's dead now. Larry, I said, and that was Larry's reason for coming to that meeting, just to get on my last goddamn nerve. But soon after that, I got a promotion, and they asked me to come over to the federal courthouse as a federal probation officer assistant. So I start carrying a badge of my husband. And it's only through the fellowship that things begin to start opening up and start happening for me like they did. And I started a meeting. Thank you. Please talking to the mic. I started meeting over at the federal courthouse in Washington, D.C. Understand me? And that was the first meeting they ever, NA meeting that they ever had, drug meeting that they ever had in the courthouse. And I got a lot of my fellow addicts that was on probation to celebrate their anniversary 2 or 3 years they had in the courtroom and invited the judges. And they were so surprised and so shocked, some of them had tears in their eyes. Because they couldn't believe that things was happening like it was. And some of the guys, what you call them, recidivism, means they can't never get, they'll never be whatever the hell it is, you know. But anyway, they had 2 and 3 and 4 years. And I stayed at that courthouse, the federal courthouse, for, well, I retired after 21 years from the federal courthouse in Washington, D.C. So you can't tell me what can't happen for you. You know, and
N.A. became my baby, and this is where I stayed. Anytime they called for me at any time, whatever they needed or wanted me to do, I was right there. Even when they called me out of California to them conference, I will not lie to you. I didn't know what the shit they was all about or nothing. But I would sit there and I would give my goddamn opinion on whatever the hell they were talking about. But I loved it. Anytime they call me to do anything. And I'm saying all this to say that if there's anybody in here now that has any doubt about anything, all you got to do is get up and do what you got to do. Here I am with an 8th grade education, and I didn't complete that. But you people are the ones that give me the strength and the courage to step on out there and do what I had to do. And I can only say that God works through people. And I always say, unless I can see the goodness of the Lord amongst the land of the living, then I will believe. It's when I come into rooms like this and see all my fellow NA people that I believe that it's only through God that I'm standing where I am today. And if I can do it, anybody else can do it. I have no distinguish between AA and I don't even get into that goddamn controversy. Wherever you are, if you're getting yourself together and you're doing it like you're supposed to do, fine with me. You know, I'm not, and if I'm somewhere, if they ain't got an AA, I know how to sit myself ass in AA and sit back and listen. You know, when I need something. You understand me? But NA is my baby. I got sponsors all around the country. And one thing about the mother, I do not pretend. And my thing now is talk straight. Talk straight. I don't give a damn what it is. Talk straight. I don't allow nobody to come to me sideways. Because just like it's your life, this is my life too. You know. And I'm not playing with my life today. In 2 more years, I'll be 70 years old. And it's only through the grace and people like yourself in this fellowship that I'm here like I am. And I'm still just a spice skin. Don't give a shit. Look, I probably nobody. You know, Tony and all of them were sitting there talking. I remember when we got together with D.C. We got D.C. started in N.A. Then we went up to New York, you know. We had our basketball games going in New York and New Jersey, all the way up to Boston. You know, we have tournaments. And, I mean, she's never done nothing like this before, you know. And y'all remember Dot Tally, Blaze, and all my girls. They've all, we used to have a good time right here, you know. I never forget when I first met Blaze. You know, Blaze big and everything. Blaze was talking shit, you know. And Blaze had scare tactics about her. Oh, wow, what is your name? I said, well, what the hell is yours? And we were sitting in the women's meeting talking, and she was talking some shit. And I crossed her up, you know, I said something up. And she looked at me like, you know, I say, now, I know this big bitch ain't coming. But come on, we got to talking, and I went on to my room, right? And, I wanted a cigarette, and I didn't have a match or nothing, you know? And I said, oh, I went out in the hall, and I was walking down the hall. We was in Virginia somewhere. Both of us both been speaking. She was speaking at the banquet. I was speaking at the next morning. So I heard these kids talk, laughing, I mean, crying and carrying on. And I went knock on the door. I said, do you have a match? And somebody said, come on in. Oh, my goodness, come here. I said, well, what's the matter? And Blaze was sitting on the bed like this.
And she said, we're going to leave y'all. I said, what's the matter?
She looked at me.
She said, you're scared of me, ain't you? I looked at her. I said, no, why should I be scared of you? She said, you're not scared of me. I said, no, I'm not scared of you. And she just cried and she just hugged me.
And nobody had ever seen her cry before, she said. Because
if anybody knew Blake, she had that tough, that twist that she had, you know. And I never forget when she went there, she said, will you be down there when I speak tonight? I said, yeah. And I went downstairs to the banquet while she was speaking. And she started talking. And all of a sudden, she just started boo-hooing, crying. I mean, they were so shocked. They didn't know what was really going on with Blaze. But I think Blaze had some kind of spiritual awakening at that time. And we got to be just like this after that, you know. And we women, we really did stick together for one of them. Blaze, Dottie, you know, all of us, we would get together with one another. You know, I had another little sponsor. Y'all know a lot about Carmelita, you know. And we all stuck to one another. And I'm the type, I do not spare the rod because I don't want you to spare it to me. And I don't like nobody talking to me no any kind of way. You understand me? So all you got to do is say something to me once or twice, and this motherfucker will not talk to me like that. Yeah, I still cuss like hell, I'm going to tell you. But that's what keeps me doing what I got to do. And how I got this is in here, you know. And the text that was going to AA in D.C., even though they accepted us in AA, but they would get in and they'd be talking so raw, you know, about how they would shoot up and how many times they kicked the thing, and people would be sitting there, and people would wonder what the hell is they talking about. You understand me? And it was getting to the point where they couldn't hardly stand it, you know. And I go to an AA meeting if I go somewhere and they ain't anywhere, but I respect their traditions and their whatever they have in there, you know. And I don't know, I just thank God for this program. I'm jumping from here to there because, like I said, you know, my mind is not my friend sometimes. But if it wasn't for this program, everything I got it through this program here and through you people here, you know. Until my life now, I don't worry about nothing. You know, I don't worry about a damn thing, you know. And my main thing now is talk straight. You come in here, you find out who you are, where you are, and what your purpose in life is, you know. Study who you are. I'm still the same person that come in here with the deep feelings, very sensitive, and highly emotional. But see, I'm more aware of that today about myself than I was yesterday. So when things begin to flare up in me now, I know what to do. If it's no more than taking a step or two back, that don't mean I got to go back nowhere, all the way back nowhere. But I can take a step two back to get myself together, you know. And I know that things are not always going to be like I want them to be. You understand? But that's because y'all have taught me this. And a lot of things ain't changed within me. And I will not sit up here and tell you this. I done went through a whole lot of hell. You know, since I've been here, I done lost my mother, my father, my husband, my grandson. But the mother's still holding on. I'm doing things that I never thought I would do. But I'm still going on in spite of. And all you got to do is keep the faith and concentrate on what you got to do and begin to learn how to talk straight. You know, when somebody comes sliding beside me, I say, baby, come around here in front of me and talk to me. Don't slide up behind me behind my goddamn back or my side. I don't know what the hell you going to do. You know, I got two operations on my eyes. I can see. And the only way I can see straight is in front of me. And I used to love to talk that I had with Jimmy Cat. Of course, I was on that government phone, you know, so I could talk and ask all kinds of dumb questions. And Jimmy would be there. And before, I think it was a year or so before Jimmy died, Jimmy came to D.C. and spoke at our convention. And I don't know what a lot of y'all knew, but years ago, we used to have to bid on having conventions.
Who any remember that?
I know you know what I'm talking about. Oh, y'all old timers here and there. We would go someplace, and you had to be in a big old auditorium room by a certain time. And if you wasn't in there by a certain time, your ass got locked out. And the people who wanted the convention in their town had to be there and be in that room by that certain time. And then everybody had to get up, present, whoever was bidding, had to present why they wanted to have the World Convention in their hometown. And I think it was Maryland, Virginia, and what's that other place down there where you stick your ass and the bees and all that? New Orleans. All of them was there. They were there. You know, they had a presentation, you know, and everything. That who was going to be in for the last convention. That was the last time that we bid it on a convention. Because the next year, it went to England. And the world decided where it would go there. And baby, we got down and we were running. And baby, they had bees. They were saying, you come to New Orleans, you can just do the Monte Carlo and all that shit there. And then the people from Virginia had to fog on. The beaches and the water and the sand dunes. And Maryland, I forgot what the hell Maryland had, you know. And the little girl that we had fishing for, she said, oh my God. She said, I don't know what I'm going to say. I said, go on my bed, baby. You're going to be all right. I said, don't. You're sound as horse. I said, it's going to be all right. So she got up and she said, well, it's nothing I can tell you, but we want this the convention in D.C. because we got about 10,000 addicts who need help in D.C. They said, oh, my Lord. The whole place just went up. They had talking about the fun you could have everywhere else, but they didn't mention the main thing, the sick addicts that needed their help. And D.C. got that time, and God damn it, we didn't like it. So D.C. But everything I have gotten, I don't care what you are about in here in this room. I don't care where you think you are or how you feel about yourself. It's growing time for you in here. It's growing time. Find out who you are. I don't wish I was nobody else. You know, like you said, oh, geez, I wish I could be like, oh, no, I don't want to be like no goddamn body in here. You know, I've learned how to be like Doreen. I've learned how to love Doreen. And y'all in here that know me, been knowing me for years. When I had teeth, I used to take them out at a convention. And I would tell y'all, ain't nothing in falls here but these teeth, and I'd wave them up. I've lost 4 pairs of damn teeth, and I swear I wasn't buying no goddamn more. And I have them. So the mothers still got me. When they take pictures, I go. Because what you see is what you get. And there's nothing that I wouldn't do for none of you all. You know, Tony and all, I remember I was being all bad up there. I said, I've seen some of the cussing people and shit up there. I know when I had a convention up there, up in the World Center. I said, these are some crazy motherfuckers up here. I'm having a battle from the 24th, where the whole floor was up there, all the way down in the elevator. They just fighting with pillows, playing, you know, for the... I said, they're going to tear this damn place up. But, baby, we have had some fun over the years, you know. And one thing I can tell you now, there are no big eyes in here and no little me. You know, we respect the new man and the old one coming through that door. You know, we're all here to learn. We're all here to grow. And you know what? When I really will be all right is when I'm 6 feet under. But as long as God has kissed me up in the morning, kissed me on the tips of my lips, and said, Doreen, here's another day for you. Fresh, clean, and unused, all yours. What are you going to do with it? The mother's going to
step right on out on that day. I don't know what's going to happen or what, but I can tell you some things have happened to me in my life since I've been in this fellowship. I can't explain. And I will not try to stand here and explain to you. Here I am with an eighth grade education, and I wound up being a federal parole officer assistant and got respect from the chief judge in the courthouse. Talk my shit. And tell them what I had to tell them.
You put it back on the baby.
I sure will.
Thank you, Dom. But all I am saying, try to love yourself. You know, there's always something there to love.
You know, there's always something there to learn. You know, you got some know-it-alls that you can't tell about anything to. You understand me? But when I get to knowing too goddamn much, I know it's ready for time for me to be waiting here. You know. But as long as I'm on this God-given earth, there's work to be done. And if there's anybody that I can help, as long as it don't hinder me, I don't mind reaching out. But see, God did not leave away this universe and say, Doreen, you in charge of nothing. Y'all ain't put that 5 minute sign up yet, you know, I'll keep going. I got 10 more minutes? All right, thank you. Well, I want to leave a few minutes open if anybody got any questions, because I just thank God for Jim Kay and who helped us to get NA started in D.C. and Tony and all of them in New York that we all got together and come up there with, you know, that we stuck together and we had some hell of a battles coming through at the time, you know. I don't know what kind of shit they got up in there, but I don't know what that, what is it? A good bucket or bucket something, whatever the hell they got going out there now. I don't know what the hell's going out there now. But as long as the kid come to me, and if they need some help, I will try to help them. But like I said, God did not leave away this universe to leave me in charge of nothing. You know, 2 more years, I'll be 70 years old, and I ain't running behind shit. I'll tell you that now, you know. But if I can help anybody, I will help. I get phone calls every day from all over the country, and I don't mind doing my fair share. But when I get to the point where can't nobody talk to me or can't nobody tell me nothing, you know, I'll go off in a minute. Who, me? Just don't step sideways, goddamn. I won't get right in your ass. You know, and tell you in a minute. And don't nobody believe it. Ain't nobody been through as much as I have been through, you know, since I've been in this fellowship. And it's only through the grace that I'm standing up here now with a heart attack and everything I've had. But as long as I got breath in my body and I keep on going, we got the meetings down there in Americus, Georgia. If y'all come through there, just come on through there and then just ask for Doreen. I'm in the book and everything, and I'm laid back down in the country. I got a lovely place and doing my goddamn thing. When I go to D.C., I don't know what the hell be going on up here. You know, these children got so goddamn crazy and everything. You know, I said, what the hell is going on? You know, but I'm at a point, like I say, when I say it, I mean just what I say. Talk straight. Learn how to talk straight. Learn who you are. No matter about who Dick, Tom, Dick, and Harry is, but find out who you are, where you are, and what is your purpose in life, you know. And once you start taking the focus off of you, you're bound to slip, you know. And once, if you don't like a lot of shit coming to you, then you teach, learn how to talk straight. What are you saying? Well, what do you mean? Well, ask me for whatever it is you want to know. I do not mind telling you. With your nose ass self, trying to get in my goddamn business. You know? But if you want to know, I will tell your ass. You understand me? And you know the first thing they say to me? Oh, go ahead, you crazy. Mm-hmm.
people can't handle the truth. Learn how to study people. You know, when people come to you, you know when somebody coming to you sideways or sneaking. But when they come straight, quiet them, what is it? And if there's something I need, I'm always, as long as I'm on this God-given earth, it's always, I can learn. I still can learn. If it's no more, don't bring that shit to me, because I ain't but that goddamn shit no more. You know? So I know you will not come to me no more with that goddamn shit. I do whatever I have to do. I've been to church, and I like the gospel singing and everything, you know. And they try to give me work. I said, no, I don't work. And I don't. I have my job cut out for me. And it's not in the church, you know. They kept worrying to death, you know. And I got a letter from one of my gals that was doing a fifth step in it. I said, now these people don't know where I'm coming from or what's that. I said, now I got to back them up off me. Well, my girl had in there, but fucking dicks and fucking and, you know, doing fifth step. I said, well, look, this is the type of work I do. I just tore the name off today and let her read it. I ain't heard from that woman since. There are all kinds of ways of doing God's work. And I'm not going to pretend about nothing I do. You know, I'm not going to tell someone, don't come to me and tell me, well, you were this and everything. You wasn't no goddamn Mona Lisa. You know, I'll get down and I'm going to hear what you done did. You know, I may have done some. Just get that shit out of you. Because this is the shit that drags you and makes you feel so bad 5 minutes later. This is the shit that makes you feel so bad. You know, can't nobody talk about you like you can. Can't nobody give it up like you can. You know, take the rock out of their goddamn hand. You know, and don't go along with, you don't know nothing but me. I don't know what you tell y'all. Why you say, fuck that shit. If you talk safe, they won't have nothing to say. So I'm going to just cut it off now because they keep on sending these damn signs at me. Nobody but swearing. Nobody but you can stand it.